Hey there, and welcome to our Friday Bible study. This is a subsection of the Ribs and Knits podcast where you and I get to spend some time just reading the Bible. We're going to go through series where we read different books of the Bible, starting with Ephesians. Only a little 5, 7, 10 minute study where you and I just dive into the Bible a little bit together. But there is so much more for you than just these studies. Make sure you're spending time with the Lord every single day and hanging out with him and just hearing what he wants to say. If you're new to the Bible and you don't really understand it, I encourage you to go and check out season 2 of the Ribs and Knits podcast where we covered an episode on the Bible. My prayer is that these Friday studies really encourage you and help you grow in the word and help you understand the Bible a little bit more. These studies are a subsection of the podcast and these will happen every single Friday. So even when the podcast is on a break for different series, these will happen every Friday. So I hope you enjoy these and yeah, let's get stuck into the Bible together. Hello and welcome back to the Friday Bible study with me, Em. This is a subsection of the Ribs and Knits podcast, but today I'm joined by my best friend, Hannah.
Hello.
Yay. And we're going to read Ephesians 2 together.
Yeah, we are.
It's going to get... Hannah's come with some notes. I've come with some notes. We're going to have a 7-minute timer to make sure we actually do it well, because this is just a little time to hang out with the Lord. Mm. We've had time to the Lord on our own to go, like, have some time in the secret place. Don't let this replace it. Like, this is just you, me, Han, hanging out, reading the Bible.
Hanging out.
Act like we're at a coffee shop.
Yeah.
You got a little chai. We're just chatting, having a little girl time reading
it's
the Bible.
It's girl time.
I love girl time. So we're going to read Ephesians 2 today, which, I've got some circles around some stuff on this. Ooh. Hannah also has a new Bible.
Brand
new,
guys.
So look at the difference.
It's empty. There is nothing.
This Bible's a year old and that Bible's a week old.
A few days old.
That Bible's about to be red. It's exciting. It's new one. She's fresh. She's clean.
She's fresh. Yeah.
But we're going to be reading Ephesians 2, which I've said maybe 10 times. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get onto it. Do you want to read the first bit?
Yeah,
you want
to read? Verse what?
Read to verse 11, then I can read from there.
Great. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Should we keep reading or should we just do that bit for now?
Verse 11. Yeah.
What have you got to say?
Right, guys, this is a good one, I must say. Okay, so as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Okay, first thing, transgressions. Transgressions means an act that goes against a law, rule, or code of conduct. If you're confused about what that means, that's what it means. So it's going against the law of God.
Yeah.
And you were dead in your transgression. You, as a person, were completely... dead.
Yeah.
And it says straight afterwards that God made us alive in him.
Yeah.
What do you have to say about transgressions and sin and being dead?
I mean, I would say him using dead, like, I find that really significant because it's basically, it's a metaphor, obviously, but he is basically saying, like, when you were dead, so you couldn't, when you're dead, you can't respond to life.
Oh.
You can't respond to, like, if I shine a light in your eyes, you can't respond to that light.
Yeah.
So there is, when you were dead, like, you were out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You were completely not aware of him. You couldn't see. Like, there is, you're out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's so
ticked
good.
Ticked off.
That's
like,
so good.
You're not there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's using that because he wants you to know just how far gone you were.
Yeah.
You, like, if I shine the light in... there's no movement.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so him bringing you back to spiritual life is like, it's only enabled by God. And like, praise God for that.
Mm-hmm.
But then also transgressions and sin in Greek is paraphateo and harmateia, which basically describes the evil that controls and characterizes human life apart from God. So they're both the cause and the evidence of your death. So like,
it's insane.
Your transgressions and your sins are proof that you are living apart from God. Like they are the so proof, good. But they also are proof that you're now living out with God. Yeah. So like in different parts of Ephesians, it talks about just the gifts that God gives us, the way he helps us live differently. And so we get to be humble and patient and kind and whatever else says it's in different places in Ephesians. And so we get help with that from the spirit that's within us, which we hear about in Ephesians 1. And that is proof, like, that you're no longer dead. There's now, like, if I shine a light, that I moves, you're alive in Christ. Mm.
That's so good. And actually afterwards, it does go on to say that the way you used to live followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Yeah. So that means Satan, that's talking about Satan, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. So if you think about it, when you were dead and you were being disobedient, it's not just you and your flesh that was being disobedient. It actually says that the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. So actually not all sin, and I'm not saying that we're not fallen, we don't choose things, but not all sin is actually like just us. There is an influence. There is a spiritual influence there that does cause us to. I mean, look at in Genesis, like Satan tempted Eve. Like Eve chose to listen to the serpent, but also Satan did have a part to play in it. And so I think sometimes we can be really hard on ourselves and be like, I can't believe how much of a sinner. We always talk about BC us, like before Christ, we were this. Yeah. But actually, Satan had a really big role to play in feeding that. And so don't live in guilt, guys, because Satan is also very much at play in all of this stuff.
I would go then down to 2:14.
To 14, yeah.
So in 2:14, it says, which we actually didn't read this bit, but I want to quickly cover it. I'm going to read this little section. In 2:14, it says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." Oh, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one, a new man out of the two, thus making peace and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit.
Wow, that's
access
powerful.
To the Father by one Spirit. Mm-hmm. And this word peace that is said multiple times in that is Paul is actually echoing Isaiah's prophecy about Jesus being the Prince of Peace, which is in Isaiah 9:6. It literally talks about Jesus being the Prince of Peace. He is basically confirming right now that Jesus is the one they prophesied about and is the one who has brought the peace. Mm-hmm. And I mean, in my life, I can see how he has brought peace from before and now. Like, in the way I respond to things, the way things feel. Like, you know, a stressful moment is only a stressful moment. It's not going to contend for my whole life. Whereas back, I did not live a peaceful life before, like without the Lord. Oh my gosh. But honestly, it talks about this harmony and wholeness. Like, this peace means harmony and wholeness I now have through what Jesus did for me, like by God sending his son as a man and sending him to free me. And now I have wholeness and I have freedom and I have peace, and it's for the Jews and the Gentiles. It's not just for the Jews. It's for you, me.
I actually think it's really interesting. Like, right before, when he was saying that he's destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Now, I don't know if you remember, but when Jesus dies on the cross, it says that the veil was torn, like the curtain was torn from top to bottom. And what this curtain was, it was in the temple. It was this massive curtain. It was like thousands of feet. I actually don't know how tall it was, and it got torn from top to bottom. And traditionally, when when a father grieves a son, when someone dies, they tear what they're wearing, they tear their robe from top to bottom. So when Jesus died, God tore his own veil, tore what he was wearing. But what it meant was that that barrier that was in the way has now been, like, physically, that was a physical
eradicated
and spiritual, like, tear that was going, hey, this isn't just tearing physically of this curtain, but this is tearing that this barrier between me and you is completely done over. Oh, that's the timer. But God is good, and we freaking love him, because he sent his son to die for us so that we could be in a relationship with him.
Literally.
It's so beautiful.
These studies, we never enough time.
There's never enough time.
More.
Guys,
but you know why that's great? Because
you get to go read it.
Go away and read Ephesians 2 today. and get deep in this. And like, you guys can have way more reflections than what we've said. We want to keep this short and sweet so that you guys can actually be reading the Bible on your own. But this is just a moment for us to touch base on the Bible, read, reflect, hear a little bit of Greek and Hebrew, hear a bit of what we feel and think about it. And it's just our response.
Go read back on verse 8 and verse 9 because, guys, those are fire. And look at the definition of grace.
It is by grace that you have been saved. Oh my gosh,
guys. We actually did not have time to cover it, and we will never have time to cover it because it's such a big...
There's not enough words to cover all of this.
But seriously, go back and read Ephesians 2 and get deep in it. But
Yeah. Well, join me next week where we're going to go through Ephesians 3. And I don't think it's going to be here.
No.
But she'll be back.
I'll be back.
And that's Ephesians 2, guys. We're done. Wow.
Done.
It's amazing.
See you later. Have a great day.
Read your Bible. Spend time with Jesus. Bye.
Bye.